Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. The legend Sig Rogich is here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today, we fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at NevadaHeating.com.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always thrilled to have back on the program Sig Rogich. He is the president of Rogich Communications, a legend in Nevada and across the nation. I love you being on the program, sir.
My pleasure to be with you, Sam. You told me earlier we've been doing this for 20 years. It seems like a long time, buddy.
It's amazing. So let me ask you, first of all, about the renaming of the airport to Harry Reid Airport. What did that mean to you?
Well, he certainly deserved it. You know, I think you arguably, he's probably the most important elected official we've ever had in Nevada history, really. And we've had some great ones, you know, from McCarran to Alan Bible to Howard Cannon, Paul Laxalt, among others, Michael Callahan. But I don't think anyone has really achieved as much for Nevada as Harry Reid has when you really look at it. I mean, throw the partisanship aside and just look at what he was able to achieve.
You worked with him when you were in the White House and he was in the Senate. What was that like?
Actually, it was quite good. You know, he had two pieces of legislation that I specifically got involved in. One had to do with the Truckee River.
The operating agreement?
The dispute, you know, with the Pyramid Lake Indians. Been in the court for 124 years, and Paul Laxalt had a bill almost identical to it that didn't pass. And they recommended a veto inside the White House. And Harry called me, and I went to the president and outlined the whole thing. And John Sununu came in and said, no, we're going to veto this bill. And Barbara Vukanovich was against it, too. But I said to the president, you know, this is almost identical to what Paul Laxalt presented. And it's been in the court for 124 years or so. How much longer do you want to adjudicate this thing? And so he signed it for me. You know, he approved it. So that was one. Then we had another one where it was opening up more BLM lands that Harry brought to me, and it was his bill. The Democrats, I think, wanted 400,000 acres. The Republicans wanted 800,000, and Harry's bill called for 600,000. I'm trying to think through it all now. And I told the president, this is if the art of negotiation is in play here, this is the perfect play. Again, the White House staff recommended a veto, and so did Barbara. But the president signed it for me. And those are two interesting moments that I had with him, and I'm just glad we worked it out, and it was good for our state.
You know, one of the things I found very interesting about Harry, and I got to experience this on a personal basis, was that inside his jacket pocket, he carried all the desires of every senator. So he always knew what to negotiate on. And one time I was having trouble with his public information officer on booking him on the show, and I ran into Harry at an event. And he asked me why he hadn't been on the show, and I said, well, I'm having trouble. He said, give me your card. He said, somebody will call you within a month to book me on the show. This was on a Friday. On Monday, I got a call from his office. The senator would like to be on your program. So definitely, he always had, from the smallest detail to the largest detail.
Well, he was very good in that regard. You know, I've known him for 50 years, you know, and we don't agree on a lot politically, but I think he's been a great addition for the state of Nevada, and arguably, as I said before, the most important elected official ever in our state's history.
And in his last run for office, you ran Republicans for Reed.
I did. You know, John McCain was very close to me, and I was to him. And he came to me, and in one evening we went to dinner or something, and he said, "You're going to have a big issue with the Colorado River potentially," you know. And he said, "You better make sure Harry's at that table," you know. And so that kind of inspired me, and I started that that event, you know, at the time. And Bill Raggio got involved with me deeply, and so from there it just evolved, and I think it made a difference in the campaign.
And you know, it's interesting because as you mentioned John McCain, so the last time a serious run was made at immigration reform, it was John McCain, George W. Bush, and Harry Reid.
Yes, I know.
Do you think people would be surprised to know how much bipartisan action actually happens in Washington, D.C. that the public doesn't really ever hear about?
Probably. You know, Washington, D.C. is no different today, all things considered, than it was in the late 1800s or the early 1900s. You know, senators fought. You know, they got in fistfights and even shot at each other. The difference is we've got a computerized system of instant communication. And so now if one senator calls the other one a jerk, you know, in the old days, it took a week to get the message across the prairie. Now it takes 20 seconds, and then there's a response in kind, and so no one pauses to reflect. That's the difference in politics today. There's no moment of reflection. It's an accusation, a response, and then it blows up in the press, and then it's a tough way to negotiate.
So do you see a solution to this, or do you see a pathway that allows us to become a more civil society? Because I feel that we're at this point almost in a civil war, not physically, but verbally.
Well, you know, Sam, if you look back historically, even into the 1900s, you know, in 1960, we were a divided nation. 1964, we were not so divided because Johnson won in a landslide. In 68, Nixon won by a percent or something. And so we've always been a divided nation. The inner cities are different than the rural areas. They're two different types of American culture and thought and process. And so you're not going to see any, you know, shining light come beaming through, but you are going to see changes in government. I think right now law and order is the number one issue on people's minds, you know, across this country. Certainly COVID is in play there as well. But to see lawlessness in our major cities is sickening. You know, Chicago and San Francisco and Los Angeles and New York and name them, you know, Philadelphia, Seattle, Portland. Those cities are wonderful places and all have great histories, and now their lawlessness is overtaking them. And I think that's going to be the big issue, one of the big issues that rolls through the upcoming elections and the midterms.
All right, let's take a break at this point and come back with much more with Sig Rogich after this time out.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low.
And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Penny! Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. Entertainment here at the Carson Valley Inn is extraordinary.
Yeah, super proud of the TJ's Corral, our outdoor venue, about 1,500 seats. We've had first-class entertainment out there. We've had Merle Haggard, we've had Chris Young, we've had Lee Bryce a couple times, we've had Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, who's in the Hall of Fame. We're real proud out there, and it's just a great time. Watch CarsonValleyInn.com and grab those tickets early. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the legendary Sig Rogich, because he is. Let's talk about the midterms. Fascinating times with a president that was encouraged yesterday by an opinion writer in the New York Times to declare that he was not going to run for re-election because it would actually put him in a stronger, not weaker position. Your thoughts on where we're heading in the midterms?
Well, you know, in 2010, I think Republicans picked up 63 House seats. The generic ballot then was about 4.2%, which means that 4.2% of voters voted Republican against anybody. The generic ballot now is as high as 13%. And the last two numbers I saw nationwide from pollsters that I know had it at 10 and 11%. I don't expect that to hold up, all things being equal, but if it comes in anywhere close to that, this would be a landslide of historical proportion. And you look locally, you know, you look at an incumbent governor who's really had no one attack him. You know, he's running even with two leading Republicans, essentially, 1 point on one and two on another. But the inner trackings, you know, from the Republican side show him getting beat. You know, getting beat by four in one poll and six in another, I think it is. So it just tells you the landscape, you know, is changing. And so I think the midterms will be consequential for sure. They always are, but more so this time than not. I think Americans just don't want this far, far left socialistic, you know, platform. I saw this morning where Blumenthal, the senator from Connecticut, went to a communist event. I mean, he was a guest speaker at a communist event. What's the world coming to, you know, when you've got an incumbent U.S. senator attending and propagating a communist event, a big dinner for communists? I don't know where it's headed, but that's craziness.
Well, let's be fair here and say that even here in Nevada, we have a split in both parties.
Yes.
So you have the Democrats under Judith Whitmer for the state party, is leading people well into Bernie territory. You have the rest of the party and all the money being moved to Northern Nevada for the Democratic Victory Coalition.
Yeah. But
on the Republican side, it's just as bad. I mean, the war in the party. I mean, the party has been insignificant in election cycles, as you know, for a long time.
Yes.
Is it even less significant now?
I never have really held a lot of hope for party politics per se, you know, being that consequential, all things considered.
So it comes down to marketing then?
Pardon?
It comes down to marketing.
It all comes down to that. And, you know, Democrats are essentially going to vote for Democrats, even if they're on one side or the other of that split. The same is true with Republicans, all things being equal. The key now is independents, and they're trending heavily for Republicans. And the other key is Hispanics. Hispanics are moving in a a historical way toward the Republican Party across the country. We're seeing it, especially with men. They want safety in their homes. They want to have choice in their education system. They don't believe in socialism. A lot of people escaped socialism. They escaped from Guatemala and Venezuela and Cuba. You know, they saw the horrificness that came with it. And so I think that I think progressives are on the wrong side of those issues. And I think it'll play out in this election cycle.
And does it come down to the fact that the pendulum always swings too far? with whichever side gets into power, they always take it too far, and that's what forces in the midterms, a swing to the other direction?
It's true. And presidentially, too, it does. It works that way in many cases. You know, think of 64, the biggest landslide in history, you know, when Johnson beat Goldwater. And in 68, Republicans win the presidency, you know. And that's after, you know, the great spending that Johnson put in place, you know, when he was president. So those things don't always work, is the bottom line. People are smart enough to realize that that's not where they want their country to go.
Do you think, you know, because in a normal election cycle, one looks at it and goes, well, there's probably 5% or less of the population that hasn't made up their mind coming up to election day, mm-hmm. and that's why all the money is spent ferociously going after those people. But do you think that the numbers are great enough at this point from what you're seeing that those people are already marginalized, that the numbers are already too strong moving towards the Republican side?
Maybe. It's hard to determine, you know, a lot of that right now because people aren't focused. We're 11 months out from an election. That's a lifetime, really, politically. You know, John Ralston said the other day in one of his columns that, you know, polls today don't really matter. And he's right about that for the most part. But they give you a trending, you know, an idea of what's going on, if nothing else. And the data then is collected and researched and torn apart and added to, and then they become commercials. And that sets the tone and tenor for the campaign cycle. But all things being equal, it's trending heavily in the midterms for Republicans in a way we've never seen before.
Do you see social media as the major player this time around?
I do. I think that they're here to stay. I do think you're going to see some laws in Congress to take some of their power away, though. I think that's coming. I mean, you know, we are a nation of capitalists. You know, we don't believe monopoly is not good. You know, oligarchies are not good. You know, we should not, you know, we had to have historical breakups of the railroads, you know, the steel industry, the coal industry. You know, we had Teddy Roosevelt's.
The phone companies.
And the phone company, it all to all for the betterment, really. The competition created better products, and it's been a plus for this country. And I think you're going to see the same thing with the Googles and the Facebooks and the others coming. I think it's coming.
But that will be fascinating because, you know, the pie is getting bigger for media, but the slices are becoming ever smaller.
Well, you know, print media especially is just having such a difficult time keeping up. I don't know how it can sustain itself over a period of time.
Okay, let's take a break and let's come back and talk specifically about that because I have thoughts on that.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
Are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sig Rogich. He is the president of Rogich Communications. You started to talk about print media, and I wanted to address this because it seems to me that with this change in technology to the internet, mm-hmm. that a majority of the newspaper industry have lost their minds in terms of what their job is. A business, to me, and then please jump in, to me, a business is you have a product, a newspaper, you figure out what it costs to put that product together, and that's what you sell it for, including a profit. What they're doing now, with the exception of the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and others, but on a local basis around the nation, again, with the exception perhaps of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, begging for people to donate money to newspapers, offering dollar subscriptions to newspapers. This is not a business model. It's not sustainable. And how do you come back from that?
Well, these are Band-Aid approaches to trying to solve a cash flow problem, it sounds like. But it's just tough for a print to, you know, in the old days, remember that great book by Halberstadt, you know, that talked about the essence of media in this country, what, in the 60s or 70s when he wrote it, I can't remember. But the afternoon newspapers had to go away because they couldn't compete with the TV. By the time they got it to the home, it was 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and the TV stations had already broadcast the news, and no one wanted to read an afternoon newspaper and hear it all over again. So that eliminated afternoon newspapers for the most part. There were some that tried to do that and stay in business, but they didn't. Now you've got a situation where the deadlines are instant, and so a newspaper loses its effectiveness, you know, when it can't compete with these social media outlets and instant communications. It's old news. I love having a newspaper in my hands, to be
sure.
honest with you. I do. It's
sure,
part of
too.
My DNA. I read the New York Times every day. I don't agree with half of what they do, but I have a lot of good friends who are columnists there, and I've dealt with them through the years. I read the Washington Post, too, and then our local newspapers and the Wall Street Journal. Those are that's my daily ritual, morning ritual, just to go through the media. It's a transformational time here in America, you know, and we're in the middle of it. And when I say that, I don't mean it's happening overnight, but it's happening at rapid speed. You know, you've seen things happen the last 10 years you never imagined, you know. Electric cars is a great example, you know. We just changed the whole industry. And so I'm not surprised when I see this happening. The other problem is local TV stations are having problems too. You know, they're having to compete to a degree that they didn't before for programming, not for the news necessarily, but it's tough to watch the networks when you can watch Netflix and all those shows without any commercials running through them, you know, and see first-run movies in your home, you know, a week after they come to the theater, or some cases the same day. And so programming is a problem for these networks to make money, and their numbers are down. You know, look at sports programming. It's down because it's so much.
Right.
You know, the NBA is down like 50% or something like that, some crazy number.
Well, that's why I was saying that, you know, the media pie is larger, but the slices are smaller.
Yeah.
And so people have to learn to operate within that field, and for them to be successful business-wise, they have to have a business model that makes sense.
But there is none. There is no business model for newspapers these days.
I'm happy to share. Well, but there is, though. There is, which is that you... And I think this goes on in a lot of different areas of commerce in this country, and probably around the world, which is the idea of salesmanship, of going into a business and saying, how do I make your business more successful and therefore you will give me money, versus I have a TV station, radio station, newspaper, give me money. I mean, the things don't compute. I remember years ago saying, why is your sports segment section in the newspaper so large and has no advertising, and your business section is one page and you don't have any advertising there either? It's like you
because people read the sports page.
They do, but if you're not selling the sports page,
well, it's tough to sell. Hey, listen, this newspaper. I think the Review Journal has done a remarkably good job.
Well,
they've got a big support mechanism financially. I get
yes.
that, but they've taken advantage of it and made the paper really quite good. I mean, the layout is better. I think that the sports section is extraordinary. You know, if you like sports, it's like USA Today used to be. You know, when they came out, they had a great sports section.
Right.
No more.
Well, and I think that Glenn Cook has done a fantastic job.
I do too.
And the Edelson family has done a good job of, for the most part, keeping out of the way of the journalism.
Yes, they have.
But it doesn't hurt to have 120 reporters on staff.
Listen, and good reporters. There's some really mm-hmm. good people on staff there. I'm very impressed with what they've done, all things being equal, you know.
And they are a sponsor of my show, so I'm not going to complain
oh,
about any of
that. I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Sadly, we are out of time. I love you being on the show.
I love
always
being
appreciate
with
you, Sam.
You
taking the time to be here. And I hope to see you in the very near future to do more.
Thank you. I'm honored to be with you.
Thank you, Sam. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian. And at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny, Dad? Are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they will.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you next time.